titled The Gift of Grace. The first gift of grace was the gift of grace to you, which was Christ coming to you in words of grace. The second gift was gift of grace through you. And this morning, we're going to speak to you about the gift of grace within you. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 17, if you have a Bible, you can be turning there. She'll put it on the board if you do not. Let's pray. Father God, wow. The music this morning, the worship, the prayer, the thought process, the welcome that you can come to this altar now. All that's been said up to this moment is the leading to each one in this room having an opportunity to meet you personally this morning. To have a time of worship, time of praise, a time of response to your word. And I pray everyone takes advantage of that. Whether it be where they sit, whether it be as Patricia coming to an altar as she carries a heavy heart. I pray you bless her above and beyond her imagination. You show her that you came to be with us and within us. In Christ's name, amen. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted, God is with us. When Isaiah wrote that verse, it was some 730 years before Christ was born. And it has been said that the truths of Christmas can be stated in that one name. God is with us. We tend to focus for the last few weeks and this week coming up, as we call it the Christmas season, on the human birth of a baby born in a manger, the Christ child. But to me, personally, the greater focus should be on his deity. It was God born in a manger. Who he really is. God is with us. And not only is God with us, but part three of that Trinity, this Emmanuel, the Holy Spirit, is within us if we are children of the King. You see, we are not isolated from God who sits on some distant throne. He came to earth to be with us through Christ the baby, yes. And the second part of that Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, came to earth in the form of Christ. And when Joseph and Mary, this baby in human skin, this baby that wore human clothes, when they called their son by name, Emmanuel, that is proof that the book that we hold in our hand, that was prophesied 730 years, is the Word of God. It wasn't something that just another book. It's God-breathed book. And when they named this son, it was a reminder that God was in the house. God was in the house, literally living under the same roof. This good news, this grace is with you, and grace is within you. And it didn't end when he went back to heaven. He said in John 14, I'll provide you a comforter. And the Holy Spirit came to be within you once you become a child of God. Grace with you and grace within you. And I want to look at this from John's point of view. In John chapter 4, or 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I want to read you three or four verses there that speaks intently about the Holy Spirit or this grace within you. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because, why? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Excuse me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ever feel alone? Ever been afraid? I remember as a child, my mother and my brother and I lived in a two-bedroom trailer. So I never had to sleep by myself as a little child. But I remember the first time that it became evident to my mother that I needed to start sleeping alone. I guess I might have kicked a little bit. And they bought a hide-a-bed, so I stayed in the living room. I remember that lonely feeling of being afraid and alone. And have you ever felt that God is far off? It, watching us from a distance, maybe? You ever just think about it that way? But the message of Christmas is that you are not alone. You are not alone. Jesus has come, Emmanuel, in the flesh to be with us. The Christ and God is with you because Christ, God, the Holy Spirit, he is within you. And that's an amazing thought if we'd stop to think about it, to the point that this Christmas Eve, or maybe this Christmas morning, or maybe this Christmas afternoon when it's all over and it's all about just cleaning up the mess, and that loneliness, that feeling of being alone, when you start to become melancholy, when depression maybe sits in, or when loneliness starts to sit in. And if you'll stop to realize that, you know, I know there's people in this room that have lost loved ones this year. You may realize that your parent is gone, which is a big hit that we as adults don't want to, you know, we don't want to ever grow out of. Oh my, I've lost my mom and dad, because they're our confidant. But when all that hits, or you realize that your daughter and grandchildren's going back to Minnesota and running off from you at Christmas, when all that starts to hit, and when you get that feeling, you don't have to allow the enemy. You don't have to allow him to tear you up and tear you down, because greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And the victory has been won over those feelings of depression, those feelings of anxiety, those feelings of loneliness. But you have to realize it's grace that is with us and grace that is within us to overcome those feelings. Because you cannot overcome that by yourself. You cannot fight off the enemy. And this grace that is with and grace that is within, what's that look like? What's that really, how do you deal with those feelings? How do you fight that off? You know, there's so many, and I touch on this occasionally, because there is so many denominations that talk so many different languages and viewpoints, and they talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they talk about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they talk about a spirit being filled with the Spirit, and in some circles they talk about a second blessing. I remember reading stories of Billy Sunday, one of the greatest evangelists of all times. He would quote Isaiah 61:1 that says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and because the Lord hath anointed me to preach the good news." And then you hear of great preachers of the past like D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody rented a room in New York City whenever he would go there for a crusade, to where that no one else was allowed in, because that's where he felt like he was being anointed by the Spirit of God to preach in a crusade. And Christmas Evans was a one-eyed evangelist, and he wrote the 13 points of the covenant concerning the Holy Spirit's living within. And then you have Savannah Rolla, who literally sat on a pulpit in a trance for 4 hours while people just watched. And I remember here at Big Branch listening to Ryan Massey talk about laying in his front yard in the pouring rain as he was anointed by the Spirit of God. All of those are very interesting and very, you know, unique situations. But I've got a secret for you. The Spirit of God came to live in you at the point that you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. And there is such a thing as being filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit. But we as Christians have God with you, because He now lives within you. And you are not alone. You don't have to realize fears of loneliness, anxiety, and depression. God comforting you in your time of need is an ever-present thing to the child of God. He lives with you when your crisis of belief comes. He is within you whenever you feel like you can't go on. He is there when depression hits. He is always there. He never forsakes you. He never leaves you. And you're never alone. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 through 11 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you," there's the Scripture. "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his." If you don't understand, let's just stop there before we finish. If you don't have a still small voice that speaks to you, and you don't have the Holy Spirit of God that prompts you and that speaks to you when you're about to do something you don't, or speaks to you to prod you to do something that you should, and you don't hear the still small voice of God, then my Bible says you're not saved. I didn't write it. It says, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So with that, I'm not criticizing you to the point that you're something different. I'm saying you just really need to get saved. And whatever you're trusting as your experience of salvation was not the real deal. Because once you trust Christ, He comes to live within you. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised us Christ from the dead shall also, and underline this in your Bible, quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. He's going to change you from the inside out. It is that grace that came to you that desires the grace to flow through you, because the Spirit is living in you. Not only did He come as a baby, as the Christ child, as one part of the deity of God in the flesh, but He also came as the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost to live within you. And every child of God that trusted Christ as their personal Savior, He now has baptized you, yes, by one Spirit into one body. He overcomes you. He lives within you. And it is that grace, it is the Spirit that is giving you the strength of grace to come to fruition as Christ's protege, so to speak. You see, you cannot live the Christian walk by yourself. You cannot live out the Christian life, do it yourself, without grace that is within you. There's an individual, I've probably witnessed to this gentleman 25 times in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's always, I just don't know that I can live that. And every time my rebuttal is, you can't. You can't. Until you trust Christ and He comes to live within you, and He gives you the power of the Spirit of God by grace to allow you to live the Christian life. You see, you cannot do it by yourself, because your sinful nature, your pride, we're selfish. I'm selfish. We're all selfish. We're haughty. We have a spirit of pride. We have a spirit of greed. We have a mean spirit that lives within us. We have a hateful. Selfish. Did I say selfish? We're selfish. We have a selfish spirit. We have an unforgiving nature. We have a conniving. We have this ugliness about it. We have this selfish. Did I say selfish? We have this selfishness about it. And we all of us, we all are, and grace with and within does. It's to help us to live like we do Christmas the year round. Wouldn't it be great if we all lived like we did, or acted like we did at Christmas the year round? Think about that. If Christians lived the year round like they do at Christmas, we would just be living out grace. Oh, we got to get the family together. You won't speak to each other passing on the street, but you'll get them all together at Christmas and bite your tongue. Uncle George the crazy comes at Christmas and nobody says anything to him. We live out grace, love, joy, peace. We live out this gentleness. And most of us, though, are really carnal. Most Christians are to the place that you know, we don't live like Christmas the year round. We don't live the year round like we do from December 1st to December 25th. We don't live. We're just like, you know, we live like we did before we got saved. We live like we've never been transformed by the grace that flows through us. We don't live that way the year round. Why? Because we're carnal. We have this sinful nature that is within us. And it's because that we don't understand God is in the house. We wouldn't do some of the things we did if we realized God was living in our house. We wouldn't do some of the stuff and act the way we did. And we have this Holy Spirit that through that still small voice that speaks to us, wants and desires us to live this Christmas life the year round. What if you had that loving? What if you had that kind? What if you had that caring, giving, forgiving, understanding spirit the year round? You know, the one that allows crazy Uncle George at the house and nobody says anything. And if you have a crazy Uncle George, I didn't know it. But what if? You know what that's called? That's grace that came to you, living through you, because it's in you. Grace. Grace that comes and dwells. It's that personal, perfect, personal gift of God that comes to you at the time that you trust Christ as your personal Savior. It's grace within. 1 Corinthians 6:19 states that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's a personal, perfect gift, grace, that comes and lives within you. The Spirit of God, grace, not only came to be with us through Christ, but He came to be within us through the Holy Spirit. And so He lives there, and grace is so perfect and so precious because He is the grace that lives within. God lives in your house. God lives in your temple, and it is grace that changes our life. It is grace, the gift and the giver all in one. Think about that. God is in your house. To discover grace is really to discover God. To discover grace is to reciprocate grace. I know Christians that live their whole life never discovering what grace really is. They live out this religious ordeal. They get saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But to them, they don't understand and ever discover what grace is. They discover what religion is. They discover what legalism is. They discover what some list of do's and don'ts. They discover that you got to go to church. They discover you got to wear your hair a certain way, or you got to wear certain clothes. They discover that you got to act all these certain ways and do all these certain things. But they don't understand that grace is a free gift that God gives to them through the person of Christ. Not just being born in a manger. That was not the end, that was the beginning. Not just through a babe in a manger, but through this babe that grew, lived, understands sin, understands what life is, understands what it is to have crisis, understands what it is to see pain and sorrow, because he lived the human life. And then was died a sacrificial death so that you can have life. And was buried in a borrowed tomb and rose the third day so that we have victory over death. And then just gives us that life freely if we'll simply believe by faith that he died, buried, and was rose again on the third day. Now that's different. You say, well, I know, but I got to get baptized. You ought to get baptized. But your gift of grace comes at the point of trusting him, not when you get ducked in a water. All that is an outward showing of an inward act. You say, well, I need to join a church. No, yeah, nothing wrong with that. We'd love to have you. But grace comes as a gift, not by joining a church. And when you discover what grace really is, then grace becomes something that you want to give away because it excites you. And to discover grace is to discover who God really is and what his personality really is, that he's someone that loves enough that he gave. And you, in turn, want to give also. And grace that first gives us the power to receive love and then the power to give it and live it. It's grace. The grace that saves us, changes us, and shapes us eternally, it alters who we are and what we become and how we act and what we do. And the spirit that at Christmas is this generosity, this kindness, this loving, is what grace is to us and should be the year round. It's amazing to me how that Christians can live grace 1 month out of the year, and after Christmas, all goes back to being the way life was. It's more verb than it is noun. Grace is more verb than it is noun. Does God stand on a hill and bid you to climb out of the valley? No. God bungeed down and carries you out of the valley. That's grace. This is the gift that God gives, is grace to carry you, not to push you. It is the grace when you can't, he can. It is the grace that you did not save yourself. It was a gift from God. And it's more than a verb, or it's more a verb than it is a noun. It's not just something that is a product and we talk about it. It's something that we do. We live out grace. We live out. It's more give than it is to receive. It's more love than it is to hate. It's more to forgive than it is to be bitter. It's more about others than it is about self. It's more about reaching than it is retracting. It is the work God does through Christ in you. And he wants to do it right now. Let grace do his work in you. Let grace trump your record. Let grace trump your critics. Let grace trump your guilty conscience of the things that you've done. See yourself for who you are and what God sees you as God's personal remodeling project. It's kind of like remodeling a house is what God does in through you and in you. He changes who you are. He takes the old you. And it doesn't happen overnight. You ever done a remodeling project? It doesn't happen overnight. It's not instantaneous. You get in one room and you tear something out and you fix something back and you look and over here's another mess you got to make. I'll never forget our last one, three floors of it. 1970s. 60s, I don't know, condo that we lived in down at Willowvale. And it had mirrors on the wall behind the bed. And it had, somebody was talking about gold appliances, this had green ones. Shag carpet about that deep, and they'd smoked in it for probably 20 years. And it was like, and I'll never forget, we started on one floor and went to the rooms that we was going to live in first. Had aluminum wallpaper. You ever seen that stuff? You could pull it and the aluminum pull off and the paper was still there. But you're God's personally remodeling project. And God takes you room at a time and gets into the secret places in your life. And you're not in a world to yourself, but a work in His hands. And Christians, what I have found is the longer they've been saved and the longer they're in and around the same church, and it's, we get to be a group of people that we feel good about ourselves, and other people make us feel good about ourselves, and we get to this attitude that we have arrived, and I've got this Christian thing down pat, and we think that we're totally remodeled, and yet that's never true. God's still got another room. We are constantly being modeled and refined, and we are to be to be trusting more instead of less in what, not what we did, but what He did and what He is doing in and through you. And I'm convinced that down deep, that hope has its reasons and death has its due date, and all of it is a big picture of His return and coming back to get us. And we have to let grace, we have to let Him seep into the crusty cracks of our life and the hidden places that He already knows about, because He's God in the house, and that we hide stuff daily and we think we're hiding it from God. You know, that below the surface, that hidden stuff, the one that you don't want the Sunday crowd to know about. We have to let God in our house and realize that He's there. And we've got to turn Him loose out of some closet that we've imaginally put Him in, so that grace that came to us can flow through us because He lives in us. Grace that can change you. Grace that we can become a trophy, not of who we are, but a trophy of His grace. A person that's involved in the mission of reciprocating grace through us. Not perfect by any means. You'll never hear me talking about sinless perfection, because there's none of us that ever get to that point that we're perfect. But we get closer. We become more identified with who He is within us. It becomes relational. You start talking about relationship with the Holy Spirit, and people are like, what in the world? He believes in Casper the Friendly Ghost too. No, I'm talking about that person that's within you becomes real to you. And you have conversations with Him, sometimes out loud, and people may hear it and think, is he nuts? But you become closer. It becomes relational. It is the one that is within you and that you fully learn to understand, and you become steady and you become stronger and you become kinder and you become a little better person and you become more gentle and you become more peaceful and you get a little more happy instead of sad all the time, and it becomes a more joyful life and you become more loving and you become more giving and you become more forgiving. You learn to be quiet before you speak. That's what happens when grace that came to you, that lives in you, and starts to flow through you. You realize that you're just a vessel of grace. And as you understand how good God is to you, and how blessed you really are. And I'm not talking about material. I'm talking about mercy. When you realize how blessed you are and how the grace of God has been given to you in multitude upon multitude upon multitude of times and ways, then it becomes a whole lot easier to be merciful and show grace to those around you. They don't deserve it. Neither did you, by the way. They don't even care. Neither did you, by the way. They don't fully understand. They'll look at you like you're weird when you show mercy and give grace. I mean, you're stupid. You're supposed to be reciprocating something else because I wasn't good to you and now you're being good to me. What's wrong with you? Grace. Grace that comes to, grace that flows through, because grace lives within you. I pray that the grace within every Christian in this room that's experienced the saving grace of God, I pray that the grace that is within awakens within you. And that throughout 2017, that it comes to life. And that you treat others as God treats you. Graceful, merciful, caring, kind, considerate, long-suffering, patient, hoping, and pray instead of condemning and criticizing. It's not easy. Sometimes hard to be taken advantage of. It's hard to back up and take a step. Bite your tongue, your finger. Walk away. Continue to give and be kind and considerate. And what you really want to do is tear away. But when you understand that God never wanted to tear away at you, was always preceded with the love that he so loved that he gave. It'll change who you are from the inside out because God is in your house. Let's stand.